Well, the spring of 1974 caught me traveling north with my wife Terry and my cousin Pat. Our plan was to go to the Big Hole Basin, where I'd contracted with a good old-time cowboy there for 6 wild horses at $50 apiece. Our intention was to do an extended pack trip with these horses, although we were green as grass. Chuck was true to his word. We took possession of the horses, and he had them hauled up to a stock corral at the trailhead where we were going to start. We worked with the horses for 2 weeks and got shoes on them. But the day came for departure. So we were all saddled up and ready to go and feeling froggy and confident. And it was funny, Chuck showed up to see us off, and he had 12 people we had never seen before there to watch as well. Time came to leave. Hit them up, move them out. Well, in the next 5 minutes, all of our supplies were bucked over 5 acres of tall grass, and we were off-roaded as well. But the spectators were satisfied with the show, so they helped us round up the horses and find all the stuff out in the bushes. And we got an early start the next day. But the horses must have got out of their system, because they were pretty well behaved all the way up to this cabin up close to the top of the mountain, and we hardly had any trouble getting there. So we were feeling pretty froggy and good about ourselves. Had dinner, went to bed, didn't wake up till 2 a.m. when there's this god-awful commotion outside. So I jump up and bolt for the door, and sure enough, 5 of the horses were gone. Halters, hitch and rail and all. The only one we had left was Trixie, tied hard and fast to a tree. We hunted for the horses for 2 days, and about 2 miles out on an open ridge, we finally spotted them. So we made our plan, came back the next day with all our spare rope and twine, and utilizing the deadfall that was at the top of the open ridge, we stealthily crafted a catch pen corral with a gate. And our plan was to split up and circle around on the ridge and drive them up the ridge and into the corral. Simple. We were just putting the finishing touches on the gate when, uh-oh, they see us, busted. They took one look at us, and it was like, there's the boss, run for it. So I run over and grab Trixie, jump on her, and I was hot in pursuit on them. I'm not going to let them get away. They were down in the drainage off the ridge, running full out. Now we're a mile away from the trap, and the trap's this way. And I'm getting beat to oblivion with the branches, and I'm desperate and to just right to my wit's end of what to do. I didn't want them to get away. So in a moment of genius, I pull my .38 out to try and turn them. Bam, bam! Well, the next thing I knew, I was chewing dirt. And now they got Trixie in my saddle for company. I lay there sniveling, and then I brush off the dust and get up lame and hobble on back up to the ridge to break the bad news to Pat that it was over. We were calling it quits. Pat, I'm sorry to tell you this, but it's over. We're never going to be able to catch him out here again. Pat looks at me, gives me one of these. I look back up, and there in the trees, in the corral in the trees, are the horses, and the gate shut. Well, how the hell did you do that? He said it was pretty easy, really. He says, I heard the shots, thought maybe you'd shot them or yourself. They come thundering up the ridge, blasted past me, ran past the corral, stopped, turned around, came back. Stopped, turned around again, and ran into the corral all by themselves. So I shut the gate. Well, what were the chances of that? They still had their halters. We trailed them back to the cabin, loaded them up the next morning, rode over to the Continental Divide, and October 23rd, that fall, found us limping into McCall, bone weary and wore down, but happy. And the moral is, when I got here, that's how I became a permanent resident, because I was so broke I couldn't afford to leave, and I've been here ever since.